Hey Wendigos, it's Gore. For those of you who don't fast forward past the intro bit, we have a real quick announcement for you. Most of you by now know the deal, right? That there's an Alexandria Archives Patreon where you can get totally sweet bonus episodes every month for just a buck. Seriously, just $1 gets you Patreon-only bonus content you can't get anywhere else, including the exclusive show Kilt and Gore Play It Safe. There's more though. For $5, you'll be thanked on the air. For $10, you'll get an exclusive patrons-only Alexandria University pin. For $20, you'll get the pin and an ironclad brewery pint glass. And for $35, you'll get the whole kit and caboodle. Thanked on the air, the pin, the pint glass, and an AU or Bob's Vampudicon t-shirt. Not to mention all that sweet, sweet bonus content. Supplies are limited, and when they're gone, they are gone. So if you have the means and you want some great bonus content and some Alexandria swag to boot, why not help us out a little bit by going to patreon.com/AlexandriaArchives. That's patreon.com/AlexandriaArchives. That said, there are a few people we'd like to thank. Vesper Faulkner, Katie and Finn Thorpe, and to all of you who have patroned us so far. You keep Morning Woods on air like glowing red, so thank you all very much. And now, enjoy the show and Ia Ia Wendigos.
Benjamin Franklin once stated that in wine there is wisdom, in beer there is freedom, and in water there is bacteria. I don't know what exactly has gotten into the water here at AU, but whatever it is, it can't be good. Until the source of whatever hysteria has descended on campus is determined, I'm sticking to good old beer. Which, by the way, I can totally do because I'm over the age of 21, and there are no rules in the station guidelines that explicitly prohibit drinking on the job. So, suck it, admins. I am not in the mood to play tonight. Honestly, there's not much I'm in the mood for these days besides sleep. The semester thus far has been exhausting, and I know I'm not the only one feeling the burn. The registrar's office and the student union is basically in no man's land, with students scrambling to alter their schedules before deadlines, camping out in the lobby at all hours. I mean, literally camping out, with tents and everything. Much respect to the office staff who have been working around the clock to get everyone sorted out. If only in order to avoid the possibility of any disgruntled student setting fire to the building. This week we've been seeing an increased presence of AU and Alexandria Township PD, as well as a number of unmarked black vehicles in the vicinity of campus. Which is just, like, a bad sign. Really, really bad. So, Wendigos, I want to hear about how you all are faring during this time of turmoil. Caller 1, you're on the air.
Hey, Morning Wood.
Hey there. Wow, your voice sounds totally familiar. Have you called in before?
We've met a couple of times. It's Keel. Keel Blau?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Honors College.
Oh, Honors College! Why didn't you say so?
Because it's not my name. Anyways, I'm not even in the Honors College anymore.
Aw, seriously? What happened?
I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Honors College is batshit insane.
Like, academically?
No, like, full tilt gibbering madness. So yeah, I quit, which means I get to redo my freshman year, basically.
Ouch, that's a rough break, man.
Yeah, well, beats dealing with Charlotte again. If that's the price I have to pay for normalcy, I'll take it. I even changed my major from pre-med to history. I decided I wanted to enjoy my college experience. Thanks very much.
Well, hey, good for you. So no more worshipping before graven images of many-eyed gods, huh?
What? Who told you about that? You're not supposed to know about that!
It was a joke?
Oh, shit. Shit! Never mind. Bye!
But, wait. Well, that was weird. Let's take another call. Caller 2, what's up?
Hey, MW.
Oh. Gore. Hey.
I was hoping I'd run into you here. I thought I'd hear from you when you got back in town.
I've been pretty busy. You know, new semester and all. Don't have much time to chat these days, never mind put out any fires.
Yeah, listen, I'm still really sorry that—
I know, Gore. You've said so. Repeatedly. I get it. I don't want to talk about it anymore, okay? Honestly, I don't even want to think about it. So just let it go.
Let it— well, I'm trying to, but everything is still weird, and I figured we'd be okay by now, I guess. We're not okay, are we?
Gore, I have better things to do with my life than sit around stewing over the past. I'm not angry about what happened anymore, but that doesn't mean I'm going to forget about it either.
Well, I mean, obviously. I wouldn't expect you to forget, but that doesn't mean we can't be friends like before, right? Right? I mean, hey, we did a solid job of getting your studio back together, right?
It still smells like ozone and brimstone. Also, my Colossal Titan Funko Pop is gone, and they discontinued it ages ago. They're going for like $70 on eBay now. That's a lot of Black Goat coffee. Oh, also, you compared me to asparagus. Hey, now, there's a Halloween costume, the asexual asparagus. That'd be a laugh, right?
Hey, listen, I was trying to do you a favor. Joan is a succubus, and succubi are like sexual beings. That's what they eat. It's kind of their thing. It's literally how they live. I was just making sure that you weren't on the menu.
Asparagus.
Okay. Jesus. Would you just tell me what you need me to do?
I don't need anything from you. Seriously, I appreciate you and the Bobs getting the studio sort of back together-ish. But it's senior year, and I've got a lot going on. I'll see you around, okay?
Yeah. See you, I guess.
Ugh, well, that was a little awkward, wasn't it? Sorry, Wendigos. It's a new school year, and new means different. And different can take some getting used to. For better or worse, there's just no avoiding it. No matter how hard you try. No matter how fast you run. Incidentally, I would advise against running in any communal spaces or even sudden movements, at least until the weirdness dies down. I love Wooly and his crew, but they've been a little trigger itchy with their tasers lately, mostly for good reason. Yes, this is getting more and more awkward, isn't it? Now is as good a time as any to cut on over to the Alexandria Archives, tales sent in by your Alexandria brethren. This one comes to us from, I think that's a M? Marvo? Who knows? It's written out in Sharpie on the back of a stolen stop sign. If it wasn't stolen from anywhere important. So let's give it a listen, huh?
My cousin Earl has always been a bit strange. What the old folks used to call pixelated. Not in a mentally damaged kind of way, he just found happiness in things that most of us found different. He was never mean, just the opposite, actually. He always had time for unfortunate creatures in need of saving, man or mouse. Most around Alexandria loved him for it. That's why, when the events of those 2 weeks exploded in the public eye, so many of those same people just couldn't believe what they were hearing. Now, Earl had never been what you'd consider a scholar, so his career prospects had been quite limited, especially in a town like Alexandria. He'd attempted to join the other students at AU, but his way of doing things meant he had a hard time fitting in. Switching his role from student to janitor at that university made him much happier, and he took to it quite well. His tenure at AU lasted a couple of years until a fellow at the city offered him a job as a garbage man. His pay would be more, and the perks of the job meant he got to bring home goodies that other folk had no more use for. Money never mattered to Earl much, but the idea of getting all those neat cast-offs was something he just couldn't resist. Those first few weeks working for the city, Earl came home with all kinds of goodies. DVD players, those fancy video game units, even turned up one day with the finest hunting rifle I'd ever seen. It is truly amazing the things folks throw away around here. Earl loved every bit of it. It was like he got to celebrate his birthday and Christmas all wrapped up into one, 5 days a week. Unfortunately, the good times started to fall apart for Earl and all of us the following week. I was over visiting him and his mom Ethel when I noticed Earl was holding his fine-looking leather-bound book to his chest, and he was holding it tight. The cover had this fine gold writing on it that said Journal, and I asked him if that was one of his goodies he'd saved from the local landfill. He smiled like a child with his first bicycle.
Yep. When I first saw it, I knew it was something special. I looked inside and saw that some fella had written down a story, and so far, that story's a hell of a doozy.
And his joy at finding something that most of us was just a fancy store-bought notebook made me smile. Then again, most of what Earl said and did made me smile, and that's why what came after made me so sad. As the days of the week went by, I saw less and less of Earl. I inquired with Ethel about the whereabouts of my favorite cousin, and she said he'd been spending all his time after work in his room. He rarely came out to eat dinner, and when he did, he didn't say nothing. The whole of the day, morning, noon, and night, he held that leather book snug to himself, never letting it out of his sight. I could tell by her voice Ethel was fretting over her son's behavior, and I must admit, I was a bit concerned myself. The sort of behavior was unlike Earl, but at the time I just chalked it up to tiredness and went on with my daily living. By that Friday, however, things had taken a drastic turn. The city folks called claiming that Earl had been threatening his co-workers, ranting and raving about the Antichrist and the Second Coming or some kind of Bible talk. They were right shook up about the whole thing. Just like everybody else around town, they knew this wasn't the way Earl was normally and they thought I might have a fix. I was quick to assure them that Earl wasn't a Chevy truck and this type of breakdown wasn't the type that could just be fixed. I needed to speak with my cousin, that was for sure, but when I asked him to put him on the phone, he was kind enough to let me know he had stormed off to, as he said it, stop Daniel Anderson at the Exxon station from freeing the devil. Now, folks, I freely admit that I and most around town had always ignored and even sometimes encouraged Earl's strange behavior throughout the years, but this recent change in behavior couldn't be allowed to continue. Earl and I had known Daniel Anderson since we were little, and if there was one thing I was certain of, old Daniel Anderson wasn't able to free the devil from anywhere. At his age, it was a miracle that he could free his pecker from his drawers when he took a leak. Regardless of the finer moralities surrounding the murder of an 85-year-old gas station attendant, it was far more heartbreaking to think of my up-until-recently kind-hearted cousin taking the life of an old man he would have given his life for just a couple of weeks ago. If this did happen, the guilt would most certainly send what the little bit of good-hearted man there was left over the edge forever. After informing our local law enforcement officials of the ensuing calamity, I rushed over to old Daniel's. I was under the perhaps deluded hope that if anyone around this town could reason with Earl, it'd be me. When I did arrive at the station, I saw the man who used to be my beautifully loving family member had been bodily hijacked by some ranting and hate-filled demon. He stood over old Daniel, waving a massive socket wrench in one hand and that now wrinkled and worn journal in the other. The words spewing from Earl's mouth made about as much sense as beard on a duck. From what he was saying, I gathered that once fine-looking book in his hand held the story of a coming apocalypse led by the devil himself, and the only mortal man on God's earth that could prevent it was Earl, and he had to kill old Daniel to do it. Shouted out to Earl in mid-speech, hoping to distract him from his present target. The face looking back at me was vacant. I could see the gears in his mind searching to identify my face, and at the moment his eyes when the gears caught.
When I'm done here, we can go fishing, Dale. I took off early so we could go. This'll just take me another minute.
As soon as he completed his sentence, he turned back to the spot where old Daniel had been laying, but he wasn't there. I guess old man was slyer than I'd give him credit for. Earl yelled after him all the while knocking over boxes and such. Fortunately, the police arrived about this time and pulled me aside to get a better handle on this whole mess. They assured me that they had no desire to see my cousin die any more than I did, and they would take him down safely and quickly. This entire time, Earl continued to rant and smash chip racks and motor oil displays in his search for old Daniel. Them SWAT fellas grouped at the door of the station and at the count of three rushed inside. They tasered Earl as I watched through the big bay window. He dropped the wrench right away and yelled, "Judas!" as he fell to the ground. quickly cuffed him around his hands and feet and carried him out to a waiting car. As they tossed him in the back seat, I knew that would be the last time I'd see my favorite person in the world. The remaining cops in the station helped a shaken but unhurt Dan out to the paramedics to give him a good look over. One of them walked over and handed me that worn and wrinkled journal that Earl had found a week ago. The one that supposedly told the story of his deliverance of man from the clutches of Satan.
Your cousin was holding this when we grabbed him. He'd probably want you to keep it for him till he gets back.
What a stupid man, was all I could think of saying, but I didn't. I managed to thanks and walked off to my truck. It's not like this book had all the information as to why my cousin went doolally, but I guess the why and how doesn't really matter, as long as everyone's safe. Sitting there in that old truck all those years ago, I figured I'd take a peek at that groundbreaking tale that was the undoing of the kindest man I known in my life. Upon opening, I noticed the first page had been left blank, and as I turned page after page, the same was true. My curiosity overtook me, and I quickly flipped through the remaining pages. It's when I first realized that book didn't make Earl go crazy. He'd started going crazy at the same time he found that book, and he focused all his paranoid ideas on it. The whole head-scratching misadventure had been one unprecedented coincidence. I guess after all this time, if there's anything that you can take away from this unfortunate tale, friends and neighbors, it's that it doesn't always take some paranormal this or that to destroy a man's mind. So a man's mind is more than capable of doing that on its own.
Okay, just for shits and giggles, if I was an asexual asparagus for Halloween, could that work as a group costume? You know, like if we were all vegetables. Asexual asparagus, bisexual beets, hetero jalapenos, so on and so forth. I'm gonna have to think about this for a while. Gotta make sure it's fair, inclusive, and fun. Fun, right. I'll work on it later. Anyway, right now it's about time for me to head on home. Hope you're all tucked in nice and comfy out there, especially if you're still in the lobby at Kadath. Hang tight, everyone. It's dark out there.